Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
I want to preach to you around the subject, dressed for the occasion. Dressed for the occasion. Who's ever received an invitation and on that invite, it has a suggested clothing attire, right? Or suggested, what's dress code? Thank you, Steve. Suggested dress code. And, you know, you might have received an invite and it might have said, you know, dress code is black tie or maybe cocktail or maybe smart casual or beachwear, whatever it might be, depending on the event, right? I received one such invitation a couple of weeks ago and the dress code was business formal. Business formal. Now, often when you receive an invitation, that's all it says, and it's left up to you to interpret what that means, right? However, on this particular invitation, it went to a whole new level. It actually told me what business formal includes, right? And it went ahead and it suggested, first of all, for the guys. It said that guys, it stated that the appropriate business formal attire included a suit jacket, a collared long sleeve shirt, tie, suit pants, and dress shoes. For the ladies, it stated that appropriate business formal attire included items such as business style dresses, blazer jacket or coat, closed toe shoes or heels, long pants, or a skirt that extended below the knee, right? But then just to make sure that there was no confusion, to make sure that you didn't rock up in the wrong thing, it then went on to tell you what business formal attire didn't include, right? So it said, for guys, it does not include shorts, jeans, or even chinos, right? For the ladies, it said it does not include a singlet, spaghetti straps, which I've only just discovered. I didn't even know what they were. Only a couple of weeks ago. Bare shoulders, as well as boots, sandals, and open-toed shoes, right? Now, to top it all off, at the very bottom of the invite, just to make sure that you came dressed appropriately, it said, thank you for your cooperation. Ushers have the authority to refuse entry if inappropriate attire is worn, right? Now, there's two ways that you could look at this. You could first look at this and go, wow, that's pretty over the top, right? I mean, that's getting a little bit too detailed. Or you could look at it and you could say, well, that's actually really helpful because it removes any uncertainty or any confusion or concern I might have about rocking up not dressed appropriately. Because isn't it the worst to rock up to a party, you're dressed in shorts and singlet and everyone else is dressed in a suit? It's like super awkward, right? So by giving us all the detail, it meant that I could have confidence knowing that when I rocked up, I was dressed appropriately and would be able to gain access to that event. I want to suggest to you this evening that this idea of needing to be dressed right in order to be granted access into a new environment is not only something that we encounter physically, but also something we can encounter spiritually. I say that because what I've discovered in my walk with God, that there will be certain new things that God wants you to take hold of, or certain new seasons He wants you to step into that you will not be granted access to until you are first spiritually dressed for the occasion. Bless you, whoever that was. In this passage of scripture that we read out, we find Joshua and the Israelites who have just crossed over the Jordan River, and for the first time, they have put their feet on the promised land. For the past 40 years, the Israelites have been wandering in the desert under the leadership of Moses, but now they find themselves under the leadership of Joshua because Moses has passed away. Also, every young man or every man over military age or over the age of 20 who left Egypt has also passed away. All right. Now, this is not bad luck or bad coincidence. This is actually because of a mistake they made some 38 years earlier. You see, although the passage we read at the beginning of tonight talks about a moment where Joshua and the Israelites have miraculously crossed the Jordan River, God parted it at a time when it should have been flooded and it shouldn't have been crossable, and God parted the waters and they stepped over and they put their feet finally on the promised land, you may be surprised to know that this actually wasn't the first time they had the opportunity to step into it. The Bible tells us in Numbers 13 that 38 years earlier, So not 40 years after leaving Egypt, only 2 years after leaving Egypt, did Moses and the Israelites stand in that very same spot on the edge of the Jordan River with the opportunity to put their feet on the promised land. But unlike Joshua, 38 years later, they totally stuffed it up and it would turn out to cost them dearly. You see, before crossing over, Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the land. He sent out 12 spies and he said to them, he gave them two instructions. He said, I want you to go into the land and I want you to spend 40 days there and I want you to check it out. And I want you to look and see, is the land as God has promised? Is it flowing with milk and honey? Is it fertile? Does it produce great crops and food? And the other thing I want you to do is I want you to go and check out the enemy that lives there, the enemy that's already occupying our land. And I want you to tell me whether they are strong or weak, few or many. The Bible says that the spies go out and they check out the land for 40 days. And they're checking out the land and they come back 40 days later and they report back to Moses what they see. And the spies tell him, or 10 out of the 12 spies say, well, Moses, guess what? The land is actually amazing. The land is as God has said that it is. In fact, we brought back some of the fruit. It is a fruitful land. It is flowing with milk and honey. It's unbelievable. And so all the Israelites are excited. Moses is thinking, this is fantastic. And then they go on to say, however, the people living there, they are way too strong for us to ever overcome. They say they're too organized. The armies are too equipped. And to be honest, I mean, they just look massive. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. There is no way we could ever defeat them. If we even tried to go up against them, they would completely destroy us. And quickly, the people's excitement turns to disappointment as 10 out of these 12 spies give the same report. Only two out of the 12 spies, Caleb and Joshua, reported something different. Only two out of the 12 spies said, "Well, guys, what are you talking about? Yes, I know they look big. I know they look insurmountable, but have you seen the size of our God?" But unfortunately, it was too late. The bad report had spread through the camp and the Israelites got fear in their heart and they didn't step across 38 years earlier. In fact, it got so bad that they wanted to ditch Moses as their leader altogether. And we're talking about even going back to Egypt. And so here they are, right on the edge, ready to step in to the promise. And yet in that moment, they couldn't find the faith to exercise in God. You see, this is, and what happened is in response to their lack of faith, God burned in anger towards them. You see, you need to understand that in the last 2 years, God had shown them right in front of their eyes some of the most incredible miracles ever recorded in the Bible. They'd seen God send the 10 plagues. They'd seen him rescue them out of Egypt. They'd seen him part the Red Sea. They'd seen him produce manna and quail from heaven. They'd seen him produce water out of a rock. I mean, they had physically tasted and see that the Lord is good, said Pastor Ted. Come on, all right? Come on. Come on, Ted. They had tasted, they had touched, they had tangibly experienced the power of God, right? In the most amazing way. And all God wanted them to do right now is just simply keep believing in him and look at the miracles he's done and trust that he could do it again. Right? And they couldn't. And God was disappointed. So disappointed. And he knew that if they couldn't put their faith in him then, that they never would. And so he burned with anger and he punished them. You see, what happened was, is that here they are facing, yes, an enemy, facing what seemed like an insurmountable task, but they assessed it from their own ability. That they simply looked at what was in front of them, they looked at themselves and they thought, there's no way we could ever do that. But did God ever ask them to assess it based on their own ability? Didn't he ask them to assess it based on his ability? So God gets angry with them and he punishes them. And basically he says to them, he said, none of you who are of military age who agreed with that bad report will ever enter the promised land. And in fact, next generation, they'll be punished too. and your sons and daughters, they will have to walk around the wilderness for another 38 years before they are afforded another opportunity to step in. This is why the journey from Egypt to Canaan took 40 years, not because it was so far, but simply because they lacked so much faith. You see, all God wanted them to do was to trust Him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about this, though, one thing that's even scarier is when you read this story, we can tend to look at these stories in hindsight, right? We see the full story and we look at them and we're like, you idiots, right? How? All you had to do is believe in God. He'd done everything. All you had to do was look at your past and see the miracles that God had done. And just trust Him. Just take a step. That's all you had to do and it would have been yours. And we could look at them and think, how foolish, right? After everything God had done for them. And when the sad truth is that we actually do the same thing all the time. Let me ask you, has God ever asked you to do something and you talked yourself out of it? Have you ever convinced yourself that what God needed, you didn't have? Have you ever tried to deal with a situation in your own strength instead of God's? Have you ever done something God asked? Have you ever not done something God asked because you lacked faith? I know that I've done all these things multiple times. And when I think about that, I tend not to look at the Israelites as being so dumb, right? Because I realize their story could quite easily be my story too. So I want to encourage you next time God asks you to do something that perhaps you've never done before, perhaps really stretches your faith, perhaps He asks you to do something that you didn't think possible, I encourage you, don't assess it from your own ability. Don't assess the success of what He's asking you to do simply by looking at yourself. But start to look at how awesome God is. Start to look back at the things that God has done, the miracles that He's done in your life. I was saying to City Campus on Sunday, I said, if you have got nothing else to look at yourself. Look at the testimony of your own life. Who in this room could say that they are who they are today through their own ability? I know I couldn't. Because if there's no way I would be where I am today if it wasn't for the grace of God. Right? If I need to encourage myself, sometimes I just need to look at myself. Amen. David said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. When he had nothing else to encourage him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you don't have a voice speaking over your life. Sometimes you don't have someone you need, but you have to look at yourself and be proud of yourself. Say, look how far I have come. Not because of what you have done, but because of what God has done in you. Amen? There's always a testimony to pull from. There's always a miracle to look for. God says, draw from that. Recognize how awesome I am that you can do it. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me read it in the Passion Translation. Man, this is awesome. I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Come on, man. Isn't that awesome? I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Amen? You're never alone. If God is for you, who can ever be against you? Amen? I don't know what you're facing tonight, but I want to encourage you that you serve a God who's far bigger than whatever that opposition is that's trying to tell you that it can take you down. Actually, amen. Come on, if you're going to clap Him, let's give Him a good clap, eh? He's worthy to be praised. Amen. We praise you, God. You're awesome, God. You are awesome, God. You are worthy of our highest praise. We thank you, God. Let me give you another reason. You know how we said that the Israelites didn't cross over? The first generation didn't cross over because they were fearful of the enemy that was on the other side. I reckon if they had lived 38 years longer, that they would have kicked themselves for not taking that step of faith. Because look at what it says happened in Joshua 5 verse 1. Let's look at it again. It says, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel, in other words, those under Joshua's leadership, could cross. Here it is. They lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. You see, here's what the second generation realized. They realized that the enemy the first generation was afraid of was actually more afraid of them. I want to remind you that no matter how big your opposition looks, your God is bigger. Your God is bigger. All right? Don't ever let the enemy intimidate you into holding back, obeying what God is telling you to do. All right? I know that in that moment, it looks insurmountable. I know they look too strong. I know that you might look small in comparison to what you're facing, but I want to tell you the enemy's just using smoke and mirrors. You'll discover that he's nowhere near as big or as powerful as he is trying to disguise himself as being. You see, when God is by your side, the enemy doesn't stand a chance. In fact, he is already defeated. He said the only reason the enemy is trying so hard to intimidate you is because he knows what the power inside of you can do, and he's just afraid of you taking a step of faith and discovering it too, amen? He's trying to deceive you and blind your eyes and make you think that there is a fight still going on. But he's already been defeated. He's already under our feet in Jesus' name. We are already the head and not the tail. And it doesn't matter how big they look. All you need to do is take a step of faith and you'll realize he is so scared of the God who lives inside of you. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So after 40 years of wandering in the desert, paying for the previous generation's sins, the Israelites, under the leadership of Joshua, have now finally crossed over the Jordan River, and they've finally put their feet on the promised land. And here they are now with an opportunity to go in, defeat the enemy, and take hold of what God has for them next. But before they can move forward, before they can go in, before they can take another step, before they can go any further, God says, first of all, hang on, there's something we need to address. Before you go take another step, first we need to address this thing. Let's read it again. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. It says, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. At this specific time, not earlier, not at any time before, but at that time, in this place in their journey, then the Lord God told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the second generation of Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel. Before the Israelites could go any further, before they could move into what was next, before they could take hold of the promise God had just before them, God first required them to address something, to circumcise all the males. Now, what you need to appreciate is that in the law at the time, God had spoken to Moses. We read it in Leviticus 12, verse 3. He said that every male born must be circumcised 8 days after their birth. Now, this had taken place with the first generation who had left Egypt, but this had been left unaddressed by the second generation who were born in the wilderness. They had not been circumcised 8 days after their birth. But now God says to Joshua, hey, before you go any further, remember that thing that I've left unaddressed. Remember that thing that I haven't brought up with you yet. Before you go any further, first of all, now we need to address it. And I'm going to have to hold you here until you do. Now, church, I believe there's a very powerful truth here. And I don't want you to miss this, right? Because what this reveals to us is that at times there will be certain things we are doing, thinking, or engaging in as followers of Christ that we shouldn't, but by the grace of God, he will allow to go unaddressed while we focus on other things. This is until it becomes a hindrance to what we have, what he has for us next. Then the Holy Spirit will highlight it to us and then say, okay, you remember that thing I've overlooked? Now we need to address it. This is why you can be walking with God for years and you can be doing something and not even giving it a second thought, not even thinking that it's wrong, not even thinking about it for a moment. And then all of a sudden, one day, God brings something to your mind and you can't shake it. And you get this impression, you know what, I need to change that. I need to drop that. I need to do something different. It's because God in His grace has been covering that thing and allowing it to go unaddressed while you have been focusing on other areas of your life and working on them. But now He says that I've got something new for you, but we can't step into that thing until we've addressed that thing, because if we don't address it, you'll step into it and it's going to mess everything up. Amen? Now, I want to pause here for a moment. I want to say something which I think is very important. Understanding the grace of God upon your life, that He has left things unaddressed, that He could point out, but He knows if I point it out all at one time, then it's going to be too much. So in His grace, He allows us to work on different things in our journey. I want to say this. I want to say, before you think about judging harshly another believer's spiritual journey or spiritual growth, consider first how patient God has been with your own. Let me say that again. Before you think about judging harshly another believer's spiritual growth, consider first how patient God has been with your own. I say that because sometimes I see believers judging harshly other believers. Are coming out of up to them just out of the blue and saying, what on earth do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Why are you wearing that? Why are you saying that? How come you go into that place? Do you know that God is unpleased with that? You need to change that. You need to stop that right now. And the only reason I could think why one believer would harshly judge another believer is simply because they have forgotten how patient God has first been with them. Church, can I encourage you that whenever it comes to pointing out something in somebody else's life that you think they need to change, be very careful to do it with great love and wisdom. I say this because you might identify something in their life that, yes, they might be doing wrong, but the timing of that addressing may not be right. You see, it could be that God's grace is covering that thing in that person's life while they work on other areas of their life, and you are unaware of that, and what you think might be helpful actually might be a hindrance. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verse 1. You would have heard this before. He says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you'll see well enough to deal with a speck in your friend's eye. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, before you point out somebody else's shortcomings, how about you take a moment to consider your own? Now, before some of you start thinking, hang on, Tony, are you actually saying then that we can't go up to people and we can't encourage them to change or to do something different that's not good for them or comes more aligned in God's character? Are you saying that we should just leave people to figure it out on their own? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that. And I don't believe that Jesus is saying that either. Jesus doesn't say, don't lovingly steer a fellow believer in the right direction. What He says is, don't judge. Right? Let me read it in the Amplified version. It will help you understand it a little bit more. It says, do not judge and criticize and condemn others unfairly with an attitude of self-righteous superiority, as though assuming the office of a judge. Right? So you see, Jesus isn't saying that we can't lovingly help each other make better and wiser choices, ones that are more in line with God's heart and character. But what He's saying is this. He says, number one, make sure it's done with love and grace. Number two, make sure it's something that you already have victory over yourself. Number three, make sure it's the right time to talk about it. And number four, and this is very important, make sure that you are the most appropriate person to address it. Consider, do you have the type of relationship with that person where they would actually be open to listen to what you have to say? Does it make sense for you to be the one to bring it up? Does the other person know you well enough to appreciate your heart and where you're coming from? If the answer to those questions is no or I'm not sure, then perhaps you're not the most appropriate person to address that thing in the other person's life. Perhaps a better thing for you to do is to pray for them in your quiet time and entrust them into the leader that has that opportunity over their life. Amen? See, no one likes to be corrected, especially by a stranger. Why do you think road rage exists, right? You know, isn't that true? Who's this guy thing? He doesn't even know me. And he's saying, I didn't do anything wrong, man. What are you on about, right? No one loves to be corrected, especially by a stranger. Right? So before you go and say anything, unless you want to fight on your hands, unless you want to get someone offside or even do something that could possibly push someone away from church or even a relationship with God, make sure you think it through before you say something. Amen? If Kenny could come. So you read on in the story and you see that Joshua does as God instructs. He circumcises all the men of Israel and the rest. And they rest for 8 days while they heal. And at the end of the 8 days, they celebrate by having a Passover meal together. And it says this in Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. It says, the very next day they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. And no manna appeared on the day they ate, they first ate from the crops of the land. And it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. In other words, basically, after now addressing what up to this point God had left unaddressed, they were now accepted into their new season. And now they could have the opportunity to take hold of what God had for them. Right. So I wanted to share that message with you tonight because I believe God put on my heart, there's some of you here and you've just been finding it difficult to get traction in your life. In previous seasons, moving forward and achieving things and getting traction and taking hold of things of God, it was just an ease about it. You felt like, man, I'm moving, I'm going forward. But in this last season, it felt like I just feel stuck. I feel like I can't move. I know there's great things ahead. I know the church is going awesome. I see people around me, but me, I feel stuck. I feel stuck in this place. I want to encourage you, if you feel like that, something good to do is to ask yourself, is there anything lately that the Holy Spirit has been highlighting to me? Is there perhaps an area of my life that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about, or something that's been coming in my mind or my thoughts more often than it has, and that I've started to feel impression that maybe I need to change, maybe I need to do something different, because perhaps addressing that thing could be the very answer to your frustration. It might be a character trait that needs developing. Perhaps a certain relationship that needs rethinking. A particular mindset that needs shifting. An attitude that needs changing. It might be a bitterness that needs dropping. A sin that needs stopping. A lack of trust that needs reversing. Or a sense of just having to do it all yourself that needs releasing. Whatever it is, don't ignore it. Because here's what I've discovered. God is a lot more patient than we are. And God will say, well, I need to hold you here until we address that thing. Because what I have ahead of you is too precious and too amazing that I can't afford you to take this thing into it and mess it up. I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to a number of you here tonight. I believe as I'm speaking, things are beginning to come into your thoughts and into your mind. Perhaps you didn't even realize it. You've been like, yeah, I have been thinking about something. I have been thinking about some area. And some of you have even been, challenged with changing it, but you've just been a little bit apathetic about it and haven't really put the things in place to do it. Here's what I feel. As a church, God is moving us and shifting us into something awesome, right? It's like we have been praying for this for years. Let me tell you. Pastor Josh Greenwood often talks about, has been talking about lately, seeing the cloud the size of a man's hand. The rain is coming. The rain's coming. We can see the cloud. We can smell the rain. We can hear the sound of a mighty rain. It's on the way. Right? God wants to shift us into that, but He doesn't want any of us to miss out. He doesn't want any of you to be stuck in a place. Here's the most awesome thing. If God is highlighting something to you, He doesn't expect you to have to work on it yourself. He doesn't say, you're on your own until you fix that up. No way. Why do you think He gave us the Holy Spirit? He gave us the Holy Spirit because He's our number one helper. He's our teacher. He's our advocate. He's our counselor. He's our number one friend. He's there to help us with this stuff. He says, I don't expect you to have to change yourself. There is no way we could change ourselves. There's no way we could become more like Jesus in our own effort. That's impossible. But that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's called sanctification. It's called that journey. None of us ever arrive. I want to tell you that. I promise you, there's plenty of things that the Holy Spirit's still working on in my life. Constantly, He highlights things to me. He molds us, He shapes us, He works on us, moving us. We just have to be willing to allow Him in. David said, "Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart if there's anything in me that's not of You. If there's anything in me that's hindering the call upon my life, search my heart and help me overcome it. Help me deal with it because I don't want to miss out on what You have for me." You know? Perhaps the answer to your marriage being more blessed than ever before is addressing that thing now. Perhaps the answer to your business flourishing is addressing that thing now. Perhaps the answer to stepping into the promise that you have and that dream that you've had in your heart is right there, but God's just saying, "Hey, we just need to address this thing first." Don't feel condemned. Don't feel bad. If there was an issue, I would have brought it up before. But I was covering that thing because we were working on other areas, but now we just need to look at it now. Let's just look at this now, because what I have ahead for you is going to be awesome. And let's not muck that up. So let's just take a moment to look at this, rest a few days, and let's go and take that territory for the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on. God is awesome. We thank You, God. We thank You, God. Why don't you just bow your heads and close your eyes just where you are, if the band could come. In a moment, we're going to spend some time in worship. And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come and just work on the inside of us. Perhaps your miracle tonight is that God gives you the answer about how to overcome. Perhaps that God speaks to you and gives you clarity about getting some accountability. Perhaps about something you need to change or something you need to do. You might just be putting something in place or letting go of something or taking a different step, whatever it might be. But let me tell you, that's an awesome miracle to overcome some of those things and take hold of what God has. And as you bow your head and close your eyes in this moment, I just want to just take a moment just to think. Just to think on that thing. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you if He's not already. Maybe you just even ask Him, "Holy Spirit, if there's anything in me that's holding me back, would You just help me? Help me deal with this thing right now? Would You speak to me? Would You make it clear to me so that I am not held back?" Man, He has such amazing things waiting for you. God is not finished with you yet. He is so proud of you. He thinks you're awesome. He thinks you're amazing. He loves you with a love that's unconditional, unfathomable. He has good things ahead. You don't need to feel bad. You are His son or His daughter in whom He's well pleased. Whatever it is, let's just offer it up to Him right now. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. We want to take more territory than we've ever taken before. We want to take hold of the promises that You have spoken over this church, over individuals, over families, over marriages. And we just submit to You right now, our life. We submit those areas of our life to You. We just believe, Holy Spirit, that You will give us the strength and the help and the wisdom to lay them down, to cut those things off so that we can reach and take hold of what You have for us, God. We believe as we do that, I prophesy testimonies of Your goodness and faithfulness across this place. I prophesy miracles in this house. I prophesy blessings, financial breakthroughs, employment, health changes, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that You would break out in this place with all power and all might greater than we have ever experienced before. We have put our feet on the promised land, on the soil, God. It has felt at times like we have been in the wilderness, God, but You have been building in us as You have been building this church. And God, we take hold of it right now. We let go of anything that's holding us back, and we reach into the future that You have for us. We do not look back, but we keep our eyes ahead, focused on the future. Holy Spirit, come and work in our lives right now.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.